Let's turn together to John's Gospel, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. I'm reading from verse number 28. I want to just notice some very brief expressions that have profound significance for us all tonight. Notice verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now they set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now the banner overhead from Hebrews chapter 13 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. And that's what we have here. It is one word. Finished. And that affirms for all of us tonight the truth of redemption provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened yesterday. Good Friday is what the world has stopped to acknowledge one day in the year. And here it is. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Reading together from verse number 1. Luke 24 and verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So if it is finished, emphasizes for us tonight the truth of redemption, then the words that were spoken inside that vacant tomb on that memorable resurrection morning, tomorrow, emphasizes for us all the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friend, tonight your eternal future depends upon what you think about the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the words were stated, he is not here, but he is risen, it is either a truth or it is fiction. But a person's eternal destiny tonight in this meeting depends upon their thoughts regarding the one that died upon that cross. And the Bible affirms, came to life again on the third day. Now one other reading, please, in Revelation 22. Our brother is touching some of these things tonight. Let us notice the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And verse number 12. I'm going to apply this. Hope, brethren, don't mind me doing this. We could turn to other portions, but just get this short, brief expression, Revelation 22, verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. In other words, we have a word tonight from the tree. It is finished yesterday. We have a word from the vacant tomb. He is risen. And in the Jewish dating, we now have commenced the first day of the week. From the throne, a brief statement, so to speak, affirming the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I come quickly. So I don't know why you've come tonight particularly, but I know why I have come. And why we have in the last part of this evening meeting and the close of this day on the program a period given for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. You see, friend, a lone figure hanging upon a cross outside the city of Jerusalem, uttering 7 important statements, has fundamentally altered the destiny of men and women, and boys and girls in this meeting tonight. Around that cross on that memorable Easter Friday, so to speak, there were people that stood and stared upon a bleeding man suffering and dying upon the cross. There were rulers there, and the Bible says that they derided, they scoffed as they beheld a silent figure suffering upon that middle tree, upon Skull Hill. There were soldiers, and the Bible says they mocked, they sported as they offered him vinegar and took it back again and jested. The one there was dying. The Son of God, who the Bible says loved you and me and gave himself for me. He looks down upon the rabble crowd. And the very first cry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross was to heaven. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They had already said no man can forgive sins but God only. And friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're unsaved and sin's a problem, and indeed it should be, you see, friend, sin's not simply a personality flaw or something that occurs when I lose my temper. Sin, friend, in the Bible is something that violates the character on the very throne of God. All sin is against heaven. And the prodigal son in the far country, he talked to himself. Repentance involves the mind as well as the emotions and the conscience. And he came to himself and he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And the young man understood something of the wrong of his pathway and that sin's a violation of the law of God. You see, friend, tonight, nobody will ever be inside the heaven of heavens above our heads who has never acknowledged their sin before a holy and a sin-hating God. And upon that cross, that day, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ could say, Father, forgive them. And I wonder, friend, if you've come tonight to this Saturday night conference meeting, maybe wondering, is it possible, like others, that you could have relief from the burden of your sin and the knowledge of salvation that others have experienced? You see, friend, this city has experienced a remarkable moving of God in recent months. There's lots to encourage as long as Christians keep positive and moving on with God. God has come in and He has saved souls. He has transformed lives. Others are going to heaven tonight that weren't going to heaven last year at this time. You're here tonight. And as the Lord Jesus spoke to a dying thief beside Him, the second cry was to this man, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Our Lord died winning souls. And a man would know before he breathed his last where he would be forever. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," was the Lord's statement to a man soon to go into eternity. And in the daylight he looked down upon the vessel God had used, he could say, "Woman, behold thy son." And there was silence. In the hours upon that cross, when God veiled from the world the punishment that He would pour upon the sin bearer who is being judged and punished in the stead of the condemned. Then from the darkness of that noonday hour, the abandoned orphan cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was there alone, taking the place and the punishment that you and I deserve. "I was born in this city. And I don't ever come to Vancouver, but I usually try and drive up 47 to see the old home. And I was saved in this area. Although I've been away for a good many years, almost 22 years, I come back here now and then. And I thank God for the moment in my life that I came to Christ, when I realized that one died in my stead that I might not be lost in hell, but I might be in heaven when it's all over." But the fifth cry was, "I thirst. The fires of hell got hold of them. The one that hungered in the wilderness was the one that thirsted upon the cross, but said tonight, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst." And the sixth cry, "It is finished." The seventh cry, "Father, into the hands I commend my spirit." What was finished? Was it just the agony and the suffering, His life on earth? The blood that flowed, that commenced just outside Eden's gate, was now stopped. In other words, the types and shadows were now concluded as a fulfillment of God's program. Had now come to a conclusion. The type gave way to the anti-type, and the Lord Jesus fulfilled all that occurred upon Jewish altars and by individuals that acknowledged their wrong before God. Prophecy was finished when our Savior suffered upon that cross for Him. Isaiah could write, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. With His stripes we are healed." And what a right that in the past tense it found its fulfillment when our Lord uttered those triumphant words, "It is finished." As I recall, a number of years ago, preaching with Wallace Buckle, a man that we spent time with down in the East. We rented a theater for meetings. We stayed in a boarding house, and we managed to get the couple that we were staying with to come along to hear us preach in the movie theater. The woman got more hostile the longer the meetings went on, and the husband got more troubled. And I always tried to get talking to him when she wasn't around. I found him one day inside his boat shed. Anybody who knows anything about Newfoundland knows that a lot of men are very proud of the boats they build. And this day went in, his boat was just gleaming there in the shed. And I had a knock on the door to get into the shed. And so he talked to me about his boat and told me all that he had done, and I had been in a few times before, and I appreciated his craftsmanship. But just at an appropriate time, we were talking, I grabbed a hammer. And I said, "Mr. Strickland, I want to do a little bit of work in your boat." I made, as I was going to take a good crack at his new boat, right alongside the plank. The man became very irate. He actually ran over and grabbed the hammer out of my hand. I said, "I want to do a little bit more work in your boat. It's not quite concluded." And I said, "I want to add a little bit more to your work." He said, "My friend, listen. This boat is finished to the very paint." I said, "Sir, we've been preaching about the finished work of Christ for these last 7 nights." And I said, "You come to the meetings, you hear us preach Christ to your soul as God's only means of salvation. But you tell us you bring your offering to church Sunday morning. And you try and live so good as you can in the week. You say your prayers. You read your Bible. You do good to your neighbor. You're a good father, a good husband. But," I said, "as far as your assurance of being in heaven when life is over, it must be simply by the finished work of Christ. Nothing you can do can ever merit favor with God. Listen, friend, why not tonight in this gospel meeting? Cease your striving and your trying. And just simply trust by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.' He's worthy of your trust." Why is that? Well, you see, when they came to that tomb, then they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian faith stands or falls on the truth of the resurrection. With the latest furor over this man, Salman Rushdie, the teaching of Islam has gained a measure of notoriety. There are tonight in the world approximately 1 billion professed followers of the Prophet Muhammad. Muhammad died in the year 632 AD. We can go to the very grave, or at least near, at least know that there, on that spot, lies a bone of a prophet of approximately 1 billion inhabitants of this world. And I talked to a teenager just a week ago who is confused, who is skeptical. And I said to him, "Look," I said, "what we are saying is quite simply, we haven't a place we can go to find the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here, he said, but he is risen. But I said to this young grade 12 student, I said, listen, the vacant tomb on that Palestinian hillside verifies forever that the one that was laid inside that new tomb was God. Do we believe that? And I said, the reason I'm convinced of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, as far as the reality of the experience is concerned, the gospel writers agree that he was there. But if on the first day of the week, he was not there. And the stone was rolled away. And the grave clothes were there. If Rome was right, why didn't Rome produce the body? So you see, as a young student was confronted with the claims of the Bible's teaching regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to say, well, if what you're saying is right, then indeed Christ is alive again. You see, young friends out in this meeting, if indeed it was God that stepped out of that tomb that memorable Easter Sunday morning, then what does that do with the statements that he uttered? Except ye repent, he said, ye shall all likewise perish. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except he be converted and become as little children, ye shall noise enter the kingdom of heaven. The one that said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is the one that we can believe and trust from our hearts as our personal Savior. The reality of that moment is impressed upon us as the writer is under inspiration to give to us the account, the historical account of that memorable morning when he was not found inside that tomb. What's the reason? The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Christ is alive, friend and life, so that you might be cleared of all your guilt. And as you stop maybe for an hour tonight and you think about your own life, maybe you wonder where you've come from and why you're here and where you're going when it's all over. There's a lot of young folk tonight, and they're like the people I saw driving this old beater through heavy traffic. And I happened to look down as they went past me, smoke flying everywhere. And here's the bumper sticker. Let's party till the bomb drops. A lot of young folk are like that, just living very cynical lives. Some think the grave is the end. You know, I was quite astounded just even within the last year here in Vancouver, out of the PNE. Very enlightening experience talking to a lot of people that came down to that to the booth this last year, last summer. A young girl came in one afternoon. She had a great big dagger hanging down from her left ear. She wanted to know what the booth was all about quite quickly. Then he tell her a few moments just what it was all about. She was doing about God. I said, yes. She said, I worship the devil. She said, just this week, she said, my mother and I had a seance in our home, and she named the area of town where a lot of her friends gathered. I said, how old are you anyway? She said, I'm only 13. I said, your mother has been at this for a while with you? Oh, yeah. Well, I said, I'll tell you one thing. The course you're traveling right now is a course away from the Bible, is away from God, and I said eventually will end you in hell with the devil and his angels. She said, you talking to my grandmother. He said, the other night, in the dark of the night, a little light on in the room, we looked down upon a flower during our seance. It had blood on it. I tell this tonight for those that are young and are dabbling in the spirit world, who've turned from the empty tomb, have thought it's only a fairy tale or just a story, who don't really understand what we're getting at. We speak about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the one that's able to save those that come to Him. He said, we saw the blood and wondered where it came from. Nobody had any blood in their hands, but yet there was blood on this flower. She said, I wonder, am I playing with fire? She said, I don't think I'm ever going to try that again. He said, can you tell me something that might be helpful to me as I'm in a bit of a mixed up condition in my life? And I gave her some literature, and I said to that young girl, I said, listen, the only hope for you today is the one that has power to set you free from Satan's grasp and is able to give you new life and forgive your sins and take you to heaven when life is over. You see, young friend, and especially as we speak concerning the redemption offered and the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is something that people in this meeting tonight have experienced personally. Some of us never dabbled in the occult. But there is a real devil that seeks to keep young people bound. But there is one that came to life again. And Paul affirms, there shall be a resurrection. Peter speaks of the one Jesus, whom God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Tonight, friend, every person that has ever been to that cross and has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have found there is something real in a Christ who is alive forevermore. But I'll tell you this before I conclude. There is a day coming when the opportunity that you have tonight in this meeting will be gone. We do affirm the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those living, perhaps even right now, who will never die, who will rise just like iron filings to a magnet, who will rise to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. What a tremendous possibility that even tonight we could rise to meet Him. And I'm anticipating that moment, what a day of rejoicing is going to be. The sky will split. The shout will be heard by the believer. A day of gladness and joy for those that are saved and sheltered by the blood of Christ. But a day of sadness for those that have lived in this world. Like so many here tonight that are not saved and have actually been confronted with the claims of Christ, maybe you thought to yourself, I'd like really to know for sure that I'm saved and ready for heaven. And yet there's never been that moment in your life and by faith you have come to Christ for salvation. What does Paul say? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, friend, He died, put away our sins and pay and drops the precious royal ruby blood, the price to obtain our salvation, our redemption. Even though you sinned against God, there's one that stood between God and the sinner. He satisfied God. He reached down to you, the transgressor. You see, friend, whenever a sinner in true repentance towards God and faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when that moment occurs, friends, salvation will be the result. But you see, against the background of the truth of Easter weekend and Easter season is the very fact that our day could end tonight. The day of grace could come to a sudden end tonight. Could find you outside of heaven forever. Tonight is the opportunity God is giving you once again. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you never heard it before. Maybe all these things are brand new. A lot of times we have found in preaching the gospel that people never heard of the truth of the coming of the Lord. And I recall one time a young man saying to me, "What's this my friend's talking about at work about going crook?" That's how he described it. You know, he said, "Come over," and he said, "Let's sit down and we'll discuss it." And so I sat down with this young man and talked about what he termed going crook, disappearing one of these days. And that man was so troubled as he thought about the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that he wasn't ready, his sins weren't forgiven, he wasn't saved. And that young man who used that strange expression to describe a truth in the Bible, he said, "If it's a matter of me acknowledging my sin, and in simple faith coming to that one, and trusting as my personal Savior, and knowing I'll be ready to go when He comes, or if I die, I'll be ready to meet Him." He said, "I want to have that experience right now." And that young man got down right before me, right, sort of right there in the kitchen of his own home. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I ask you tonight, friend, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Have you been to the cross and seen one dying there in your stead? You understand, friend, He is alive tonight in His power on earth to forgive sins? If not, friend, then why not? We conclude this week and this day. And as the world will stop and acknowledge the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, the forever would speak of His coming again. We acknowledge that. We thank God for His truth. Forever to be with the Lord is the experience of those that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, friend, we're talking about you and your accountability to God. And our prayer is, as we come to a conclusion of this meeting tonight, you will confess with your mouth that He is Lord. And believe in your heart that He is alive again, having paid in full the price for your redemption. God says, "If thou shalt confess and shalt believe, thou shalt be saved." You simply look to Christ, and salvation in your experience. Want to do it now? Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for the truth of the Lord's death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and His coming again. And pray, our Father, at this very moment,